Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, December 18th, 2015. It's Theater Troupe debut. What's the eve before the Theater Troupe presents? The Christmas Eve, there's New Year's Eve, there's Theater Troupe Eve. So, all I have to say, we worked really, really hard. When I say we, I guess I had a role. I was lugging in chairs and set up and making sure everyone was fed properly. I was like that Tasmanian devil that spun around and created all that dust. Fabulous rehearsal. I just never realized when God put this on my heart some years ago to really put, if you will, like feet to the dream. I mean, there was so much going on with the sound team and the costume team and the staging team and then all the cast members and keeping the little angels that were running around in every different direction kind of quarantined or coordinated and just running through the lines and the body movements. And when it was all said and done, I was exhausted just watching it and trying to help. And just all the parts, I think we fed like 20 plus cast members and some of the setup crew last night. And thank you, God, for the Olive Garden. They provided all that. They did that braised beef. That was a favorite. And lasagna and a pasta dish and the salad and breadsticks and even the little mints. And we had some other desserts and fixings. But we gave it our all last night. And then tonight we're going to do another dress rehearsal in costume. And that's going to actually be at the mall, just getting prepared for tomorrow, our noon Singing Men concert and theater troupe gathering at the mall. So you're all invited, everyone. You've probably seen a Facebook post or announcement over the air or, you know, on our website, just the different means that we're trying to encourage everyone to come out to Marketplace Mall tomorrow at noon. Lots of parking. The mall's setting up special seating for this, and so we can fit a whole bunch of you in the food court at noon tomorrow. And so make it a day and have some fun. Bring out your family and friends and neighbors, and it'll be set up in the food court at noon. But, wow, I can't wait to see how it comes together. Lord willing. I guess that's on a couple levels. I can't wait to really see how it comes together and with some fear and trepidation. But you and I, even before this program, we just prayed it up. God will have his way. He'll accomplish the message he desires. That the cast members, they've been working hard. And I'll probably, when I announce or introduce everyone to the Singing Men of GNN, will say that this theater group, this cast, has only had a couple weeks to work on the script. So if it all comes together, it'll be to God's glory. But they put a lot of effort into it. I know they've been praying it up, working on their lines. And so it'll be interesting to see if the sound and everything will work together so it can really be a blessing to our listeners that show up. So, oh, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
This is the first time, right?
Yeah, first time ever. It was a dream I shared initially about 15 years ago. When I say a dream, just something that crossed my mind. I thought how God could use drama and the performing arts to his glory. And I was thinking initially, like when the Singing Men present a program, usually halfway through we might have some soloist or do some special music. But I always thought, wouldn't it be neat to have a drama or a skit during that time? Yeah. And then I just started thinking, you know, there's a lot of different ways we could use drama. And the mall has been so wonderful. This will be our 17th year in a row. But I had one time asked the mall manager, I said, hey, Dennis, might there be a chance if we had a drama team to put on some skits or something some evening and just tell our listeners to come out to Marketplace Mall for a Great News Radio, like, drama night? He said, sure, anytime. And so I started thinking, wow, we could do it there and maybe in schools or for different civic organizations. And that's when I started listing different ways I could see God using the Great News Radio Theater Troupes, especially even in churches where a pastor could call up the station and say, hey, do you have something on this topic that could go right along with my message? And I wanted to be a resource. So as I prayed about that, and I've shared this story over the air, the important thing was that God would raise up the right person, the director, to facilitate and lead and have vision for it. And that really didn't seem to happen. And then through that kind of miraculous phone call and Kate Freeman being on the other line and praying about it, and she said, I'm all in. I got some scripts. I'm thinking about this. She really was the catalyst a couple months back to say, let's start praying about it. And then we got the word out that we're forming this, had some rehearsals. And so, yeah, it all really starts or begins. Well, I guess it's begun already with the rehearsals, but tomorrow will be the first time that the listeners will be able to appreciate all the prayer that's gone into this that we hope will bring glory to God in the days ahead.
So. That'll be good stuff. That'll be good stuff. So everybody should come out and everybody should support this new ministry, the Great News Radio Stone, and everybody should come out. And not only that, but I mean, you're going to be in the mall in the midst of hundreds, if not, you know, I don't know what the traffic flow is, but thousands of people who are shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's the weekend before Christmas, so this is a golden opportunity for those of us who are Christians to be able to get in and amongst and have a presence. I mean, especially in this kind of secularized world right now that we're in, this kind of new normal, to be able to have an open door to be at a place on probably one of the busiest weekends that there is, and to be able to share our faith, even just by the testimony and witness of the music and the drama. You never know how God will open doors.
And we've seen that even some of the food vendors that have seen us there year after year, you know, they stop and pause. And we've seen many times people that enter into the mall that will be captivated by these 50 guys in their tuxedos and will sit down and then stay for the whole concert and comment afterwards, you know, I haven't been to a Christmas concert in 50 years, or, you know, they'll have different comments about it. And so I would ask for our listeners that can't make it out to Marketplace Mall tomorrow at noon to just be praying up what God would do through the theater group, how he might impact the general public that'll be walking through the mall, that it might, whether it's the song or the drama, where they pause and really capture the essence of the season, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about shopping and parties and all the hustle and bustle. It's that single event that God brought about on a specific day that he entered the world, Emmanuel, God with us, and they'll maybe capture that through the drama or the singing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's really what, as we look at the book of Acts today, that's what Paul is talking about in the book of Acts. He's telling the Ephesian elders in chapter 20 and verse 27, he says, I didn't shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And in the whole counsel of God is the plans and purposes of God, what God came to do. You know, we celebrate, I think we've talked about this in past radio programs, but we celebrate Christmas in December, and we celebrate Easter, you know, around March. But those two events in the mind of God were one event. Those were one thing that God was doing because it had a singular purpose. Now, they were two different events. I mean, one was the incarnation and one was the crucifixion. But in the mind of God, it was one purposed thing that he was doing. God didn't come into the world as the baby in the manger and then try and figure out what he was going to do from there and saw the cross and thought, well, that's a good idea. I mean, he could do that. God was planned and purposed towards bringing, I mean, what does Jesus say? I came to seek and to save the lost. When pressed, why? I came to seek and to save the lost. That means that was the purpose of God from into the manger, out of the manger, into the life and ministry of Jesus, and to the cross. And even before that, because in the Old Testament, we see the same thing. God is seeking after his people. He's chasing after his people. One of the things, Mark, that I'm always so blown away by in the Old Testament is that God will come to his people. I think about the book of Hosea. I think about the book of Isaiah. I think about a lot of the prophets, and even in the Judges, met. God will come to his people, and he'll say to them, you are disobedient. You are idolatrous. You are harlots. You have left me. You have prostituted yourself out. And then he'll say, but if you return to me, if you come back. God is always offering grace. It's so much so that, you know, we love Philippians 2, where it says he emptied himself of divinity and entered into humanity, that he humbled himself and entered into the manger, that God so desired to touch us with his grace that he took on the likeness of sinful human flesh. And so when Paul says he didn't hesitate to declare the whole counsel of God, he's talking about from one end to the other. And in that would be this redemptive message that God was coming, and God was coming, and God was coming. We talk about Isaiah 53, God was coming, and the foreshadowings of that, even in Isaiah 9, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. I mean, God was coming. In Malachi, there will be healing in his wings. God is coming. This message that God is coming. And so Paul here tells him, I preach to you the whole counsel of God. I'm showing you and telling you exactly how God has been at work in your salvation since the beginning, since Genesis chapter 3 when it all fell apart. He's been at work. And so he tells him, he says, I didn't hesitate to declare to you everything, every little bit of it, even the stuff that we have trouble with, even the stuff that frustrates us, even the stuff that's hard for us. There are some people, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah seems very difficult. There are stories in the Exodus where thousands of people die, and it seems very difficult to us. There is, in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira who blaspheme, they lie to the Holy Spirit and immediately fall dead, and that's a tough story. That's a tough story to hear, just the same as the faithful Christian witness who passes away from cancer. The same faithful Christian who will get in a car accident and who will pass away. The same faithful Christian parents who are raising their kids and something happens and one of their kids pass away. I mean, somebody right now listening can go, yeah, that's my story. I'm faithful and I don't understand. And you know what? Sometimes in the midst of God's story, there are things we don't understand. There are stories we don't understand. But that doesn't mean that we don't stop declaring the whole counsel of God. Because when we hesitate, and Paul said, I didn't hesitate. When we hesitate, then we put ourselves, our own plans, our own purposes, what we think we ought to do, who we think we ought to be, and what we think ought to happen ahead and above what God thinks ought to happen. God knows infinitely better. And so Paul goes on here, and now the conversation changes. And he begins to charge the Ephesian elders, because Paul is going to be leaving them. He's told them, I'm going to be leaving. And he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I love this passage right here. Now, I know there's probably some listeners who are going to say, oh, thank goodness, this is a pastor passage. I can step away. I don't have to listen anymore. But you know what? Every single one of us is pastoring and shepherding somebody. You know, we really get ourselves in the wrong place and space when we believe that pastor has become some sort of vocation. It's not a vocation. I'm a pastor. It's not a vocation. It's a calling. You know, most of the pastors I know could make more money working in a secular world and work less hours and have less frustrations and less
heartache.
You know, less heartache, less all that stuff. I mean, Sunday comes every week. Sunday's coming. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they were saying, hey, you know, how many pages routinely is a sermon? And I said, well, you know, it ranges anywhere from 8 to 10 pages. And they said, how many weeks do you preach a year? I said, well, I usually preach about 40, 45 weeks. They said, wait a second, so you write 450 pages a year? I said, well, yeah. I said, but then, you know, I teach in other venues and I do other things. So, yeah, I mean, I write a lot, I guess. And they said, it's like you're a novelist. Every year you're putting out a novel. Except for instead of saying it needs to come out at this time, it's every Sunday. That's coming. It's looming on the horizon. Yeah. And I don't want anybody listening right now to think that I'm complaining about that, because it's a calling. I don't view it as a job. I view it as a calling. God has laid upon my heart that this is what I'm supposed to do. Though sometimes it may feel burdensome. That's in my own flesh. Because I don't do this alone. I do this with God. God comes and he mightily does things that I don't even know how I ever accomplished doing. I mean, he turns my silly words into, for some people, powerful words, depending on when you know the message is being given and what the circumstances are.
I know one time you were saying in the midst of your preaching, you realized you were actually preaching to yourself. It was as if God was saying, hey, this is for you too, Jason. And you were like, wow, I'm really being kind of blessed or washed over by the words I'm saying, because God's kind of directing them to me.
Yeah, and that happens more often than not. More often than not, I'll be in the middle of the message, and I'm a firm believer in being well prepared for the message. I don't come in with just my Bible and a few notes. I come in there having really thought about what needs to be done. Most messages are 15 hours or so it takes to write a good message. And that's because you want to do all that work on the front end so that when you get in the pulpit, you can listen to the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes I'll, you know, be in the middle of the message and there's stuff that the Holy Spirit is using me to convey that are not in the notes. It's not in the message. It's not even in the direction that I was thinking about. And in those moments, sometimes I become very emotional. I can become very emotional or even just very tired. I can come out of the pulpit and just be like, gosh, I need a nap, you know? And some people will be like, all you did was talk. You know, and I'm like, no way, like the Holy Spirit was utilizing it. But Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So God has called people to oversee people. God has called parents to parent their children. God has called neighbors to one another with their neighbors who live next door. God has called us to different places, different flocks, different groups of people to walk with and walk them towards Christ, to witness to them. And the Holy Spirit has done that. And then God says, by the way, I want you to take care of the church because it was obtained by Jesus Christ's blood.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he says that here, which he obtained with his own blood. You know, I see many people who tell me, they say, well, I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. You know, when I read the Bible, and for some people maybe listening, this will be difficult when I say this. When I read the Bible, a part of your Christian life is to be a part of a local congregation. Ephesians 2 said we are being built up together into one house with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. It doesn't say we're being built separately. We're being built up together. Now, we worship in different buildings. Functionally, that's how it works. Functionally, that's how it worked in the days of Paul as he traveled around. There were churches that were geographically in different places. But we're being built up together into one body. So I don't know. When people tell me that they don't attend church, I don't understand how you can call yourself a Christian, how you can look at the scriptural mandates and not be a part of a local congregation. And I believe that the local church is the hope of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the local church gathered together, glorifying God, scattering after the service and going out into their places, their spheres of influence, and sharing the gospel. I believe the local church is the hope of the world. And here, Paul says that this is the church of God. This isn't the church of Muhammad. This is the church of God. This isn't the church of Champaign or St. Joe or Clinton or wherever else you're hearing this morning. It's the church of God. If you go to your church and you go, well, this is my church, then you've got it wrong. It's Jesus' church. If I arrive at my church and I go, I'm the senior pastor here, in my opinion, I'm just going to be honest, I need to be careful of that because Jesus is a senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the one who's in charge of the church because it was purchased by his blood, and it is the church of God, formed by God, called by God, made by God, strengthened by God, sent by God. It's not us. And I think that, you know, when we get ourselves turned around in church, when we get some of the messes that seem to happen in church, and I understand when people say, I struggle to be a part of a church because there's been some really hard and damaging things that have happened in church. I think that's when we get ourselves turned around and it starts to become more about us and more about our church and not about God's church. I mean, that should be the strength of the church. That should be the pillar. The Bible tells us that the pillar is the Word of God and the strength is God.
And I think also there is some legitimacy. I mean, there have been some bad situations where people were violated or abused by the church, but they should never give up on the church. They should just keep looking, keep praying, keep seeking God to find that assembly where they are dividing God's word properly, where they are led by deacons and elders that are faithful men that love the scriptures, that want to nurture them and plug them in. They should never give up on the church, even if they've had a bad experience.
Right. I totally agree. And I want to be sensitive. So if somebody's hearing me right now and they're hearing me say, you have to get back to church, you have to get in church, that's it, I don't care. I understand exactly what you're saying, Mark. And I agree that there have been times when some things have been done that were just horrible. And they happened beneath the banner of the church and they happened within a church and it was hurtful to people. And if that's your story, if you're listening right now, I want to apologize to you because that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a group of people operating in the strength and the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. But don't give up on Jesus and don't give up on his bride, the church, because he calls his bride in the scripture beautiful. And that's his church. He's the groom. The Bible says he's prepared himself like a groom on the wedding day for his bride. And he sees his bride as beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's what we are. Unfortunately, sometimes we've done some things have happened that have not been good. But this is his church, purchased by his blood, not ours. We didn't do it. Remember, we talked about this before. His body broken, not ours. His blood poured out, not ours, for the forgiveness of what? Our sins. I mean, how radical, how crazy is that to even think about that there was nothing that was done on behalf of any of us, that Christ did all of it, that he stood in our place, that we might stand all the more stronger in the world as the church, that we might stand together. I love how the Bible refers to us over and over again as children. John tells us in his final books, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he says, oh, little children, because God sees us as his children. Mm-hmm. We've been adopted into the family of God, and then he's called us to be a part of a local congregation where we can come beneath the authority of his word, where we can hear his word spoken and taught, where we can lift our voices up and worship him, and where we can glorify him, and then we can go out into the world strengthened and renewed to change the world for Christ, mm-hmm. to be a light in the world. And so I just want to challenge you in the final couple minutes that we have here, just challenge you, because this is the weekend before Christmas, and you have a great opportunity to attend a local congregation on Sunday morning, and then on Christmas Eve, a great opportunity to get out and to hear. Maybe the church, unfortunately, wounded you. Maybe you carry the bruises of something that happened in church, and you've been saying, well, I just can't go to church, I just can't do it. You know what? This might be the best time for you to actually go into the doors of a church and just be reminded that God came into the world to seek and to save the lost. Maybe you've been lost for a while because of something that happened in church. Be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enter into those doors and hear how God came into the world to seek and to save you, to call you unto himself, to call you into a congregation and a body of believers where you will be loved and cared for, where you'll lift your voices up together and sing, and where you will do more, immeasurably more, than you can ask, know, or imagine.
Hmm. And all of God's people said, and Jason, I'm going to mention this for some listener that maybe isn't affiliated with the church or hasn't gone to church for a long time because of various reasons. You'll be at the food court tomorrow along with the Singing Men of GNN and the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, and so they can come out and maybe even get a Bible handed to them from you, mm-hmm. or they can maybe ask a question or say, Jason, I heard your program yesterday, and I need some insight into something, or you'll have some time in the food court tomorrow. I guess, what time are you going to get there? I know we sing at noon, but you'll be there from about 11:30 to about 1:30?
Yeah, about 11:30 to 1:30 we'll be there. And we got a banner, so it'll be easy to see who we are. And, you know, we'd love to talk to you about anything. We'd love to talk to those people who don't know who Jesus is. We'd love to talk to those people who know who Jesus is, and maybe they're struggling with who he is, or maybe those people who, like we discussed today, have been wounded, mm-hmm. and they need to be reminded of who Jesus is. So we would love to see you.
That's tomorrow at noon, everyone, at the Marketplace Mall Food Court for the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe and the 17th year in a row that the Singing Men of GNN will be singing. Tomorrow at noon at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.